Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, 30 seconds or so before showtime, Buzz is waiting to enter the studio. But first, here's your homework for today's show. I need you to open your internet browser and type in patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And once you're there, choose to either follow the show for free or better yet, subscribe for as little as $1 a month. Why? Well, because this show is powered by our Patreon page. We can't do this show without the immense support of our Patreon community. So why not join that exclusive club? It's the hub for this podcast where our most loyal listeners hang out. And by the way, where subscribers get all kinds of bonus content as well. So join us, why don't you? Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
It appears Seska has been genetically altered.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, April 16, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,183 of the Biden-Harris administration, 203 days until the 24 presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram. My handle is TheBobSeska. Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And that guy right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news. Yeah.
You say Buzz Burbank.
Quiet.
You've said it all.
Here it comes.
Don't wake him. Let him sleep. He was up all night.
We're going to talk about that in a second for sure.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we never let our interpreter anywhere near the mic.
Right.
Good advice.
Good policy.
Well, Trump's first criminal trial began yesterday, and at one point, yes, he fell asleep, but he shot upright when he got to the part of the dream where Stormy spanks him with a magazine. Now, I don't know if Trump looked directly at the eclipse this time, but I know it's gotten harder for him to see getting elected.
Right.
Don't get happy. House Speaker Mike Johnson went down to Mar-a-Lago over the weekend.
Yes, he did.
A lot of people have noticed that sort of grimace on Mike Johnson's face. That's what it feels like to have Trump's hand up there.
Ouch!
Ow!
You know, even in death, I think many of us will never forgive OJ for giving us the Kardashians. The transplant patient, remember we talked about this guy, transplant patient who received the kidney of a pig.
Right.
I have great news. He is home from the hospital. He's out of the hospital now.
Yeah.
He's actually recovering at the home of an old friend, a McDonald.
Old McDonald,
that's,
huh?
That's a dad joke, by the way. Just so you know the difference. And can you hear the cicadas where you are? Bob, have you heard them yet?
Oh, God, yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the Midwest, you know, they're seeing the 13-year cicadas.
Mm-hmm.
And in the East, they're seeing the 17-year. Oh, so that's why Matt Gaetz is interested.
More fun, more music, wow. The Bob Seska Show.
I'm gonna start my trial there in the morning. Drop my head, start to yawning. For some people, this has been a dream. My goose is cooked. I'm up shit creek. She spanked me with a magazine. I'm
told
always
you.
Sleeping.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rocky Mountain Mike. Man, from that was fast. Trump fell asleep song within 24 hours of it actually happening.
That's from his Not Quite White album. we thank him. Now, that second week in a row, I think, for a Beatles song.
Yeah,
from Mike.
That's right.
And you know what happens, and I know I'm not the only one. I go around humming this for the rest of the week.
And especially when it's one of the big ones that I love, like Rock, Lock 'Em Away. If we play that one on the show, that's it for me the rest of the week. It's
Even the parody of Happiness is a Warm Gun, it doesn't have the most sing-along melody in the world, and yet for a week I was singing that thanks to Mike. So he always makes an impression, and we appreciate it.
Well, we're going to talk about Donald Trump falling asleep in court yesterday. Duh. Obviously we're going to talk about that. Plus we're going to talk about his Gettysburg rant. I have a few things to say about all of that.
Yeah, all I can say is Gettysburg wow, Bob.
Yeah, Gettysburg wow. That there was a great joke in Dogma, Kevin Smith's movie Dogma, where George Carlin, as this bishop, rolls out this rebranding of Catholicism. And the rebranding is called Catholicism Wow. And that was the first thing I thought of. I thought of when Donald Trump was talking about Gettysburg and he said, Gettysburg, wow. I thought of Buddy Christ. That's immediately where I went to in that Kevin Smith movie. And now a world famous meme and GIF, etc.
Indeed.
We're going to get into all that in a second. But I got to say, holy shit, did we have a great time Sunday night at Bus Boys and Poets in Tacoma, Washington, D.C. Yeah. So many mooks. I was so happy. We were, of course, there for the rollout of That Time We Ate Our Feelings, this wonderful cookbook by Debriana Mancini and Lisa Lucas, filled with comfort food recipes. Your name came up, Buzz. We talked about the fried pizza that got made during your episode of Corona Kitchen. And we, of course, got to meet so many listeners and Stephanie Miller Show listeners of this show, which there's a gigantic overlap. It's all one and the same. We're all part of the same universe orbiting Stephanie Miller.
It's like a mycelium, I think, that runs underground.
And one of the things I was so happy to see is there were at least a couple dozen people there wearing official merchandise from our TeePublic store. And so I was like running around taking pictures. I was like, oh my God, you're wearing a Jetpacks Made of Beef shirt. Let's take a selfie. I got to see. It was incredible. And there was one guy there who actually had one of our old school shirts with the logo from the show. And it was like a golf style shirt that we used to sell. But it was so wonderful to see so many of our friends and people, who listened to the show. And it was a sold out event, which made me super happy. When we got there, we sat down and we talked to Lisa and Debriana, hung out with them for a while. And then when we went into the venue itself, no one was there. And it was coming up on 5 o'clock. And I'm going, oh my God, is this just going to be us today? And then suddenly, as if it were just a giant tsunami, everyone arrived and we filled the goddamn room. Just a testament not only to this book, Debriana, Lisa, but also to the Stephanie Miller Show and obviously listeners of this show. So it was just so much fun. It was so great to meet everyone, take selfies with everyone, get to know everyone. We got to talk to Kevin in D.C., who is thinking about doing his own streaming show. So thank you for coming out and saying hi. It just meant the world to all of us.
It is a little scary when you get close to appearance time and no one has shown up yet.
I know.
The crowd, this interconnected crowd of people, these mooks from the various shows, these are not early people.
Yeah.
These are, we show up on time people, which is good. And then you can breathe again when they do show up, but it's a little scary, before, because you don't know if, but it's always a great relief. And all I will say about all of this is you see what can happen when you leave the house.
Yeah, that's right. And it was the first time we've been to one of these events since the pandemic. We haven't been to any sexy liberal shows live in theater, sexy
you
liberal
left the
shows.
House.
Yeah. And of course that's touring right now. So we're at least going to go to the D.C. one in January on the Sexy Liberal Save the World Tour, sexyliberal.com. And so that's going to be something we're very much looking forward to. And because when, now when we've is, got the when, taste in our mouth from being
when,
there. Yeah.
And when is that again?
That is in January of 2025. So.
Oh, wow. See, I thought maybe you'd misspoken when you said January.
Yeah, it is January.
Well, he must mean April or May.
No,
or
no. This yeah, is a no. Yeah, there Live Nation is doing this tour for the Sexy see. Liberal wow. Tour. And right. So this is going to be a year-long thing or nearly a year. And I think the last one is Washington, D.C. in January. And as we were talking about during that time we had our feeling meetup the mm-hmm. other day, I was saying, good Lord, that particular Sexy Liberal show, that's either going to be a celebration or a funeral for democracy.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's going to be right before the inauguration. I forget, it's a matter of a couple of days before the inauguration. So that inauguration day is either going to be hellish or it's going to be holy fucking shit. I can't believe we dodged a bullet again.
Oh, can I share something I learned about that period of time where let's say, and God, let's not say it, but what if Trump won the election? See, I hate that I even said that. Mm. But if he were, the question has been raised, well, can he still stand trial as president-elect? And the answer is, yes.
Yes, of course he can.
Yes, he can.
Yeah.
Until January 20th. We have him until January 20th. So the deadline is not necessarily Election Day.
Right.
The deadline is January 20th when it comes to saving democracy from Donald Trump. To me, that's good news. I always like having a little extra time.
The other thing that I learned on Sunday is that, you know, the shows have been running long lately, right? We've been going extra long with the shows. Usually I like to keep the shows under an hour, but lately we've been going much longer than that. And that's okay, but I've been wondering. Yeah, I've been wondering, God, is the show getting too long? Are we just starting to get show bloat? I just made that up, show bloat. But there at the event Sunday night.
Right. Raised the question?
Yeah. Well, I didn't raise the question, but one of our listeners, Thomas, came up with his partner, Richard, and Thomas was like, oh my God, as long as you want to make it, just do long shows. That's fine. Long shows are great.
That's the perfect.
And so I'm like, okay, well, now that you've encouraged me, get ready, because we're just going to let the show bloat go crazy.
Well, Bob, I got to run.
Okay.
No. I've been hearing that too.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's very nice. We're going to do what comes naturally, I think.
Yeah.
I think I know that's how you operate, that's how I operate. Mm. So when we run out of productive stuff to say without repeating ourselves too much, we will stop.
Yeah, of course. But since we are endowed with the gift of gab, it's probably going to be one of those things where the show's going to be
We got a lot of material to cover.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. So I mean, it's not like the shows are suddenly going to be 2 hours long, we're gonna say what we need to say, and if it's a little bit longer than normal, fine, not a problem.
You give us 90 minutes, we'll give you nearly an hour and a half.
And plus, when people encourage me to do something like that, I'm like, okay, sure, I'm happy to oblige. It's not gonna be a problem for me. I have plenty of things to say. That's for sure.
True. That's I'm not going anywhere. So I'm here.
And by the way, if you want your very own T-shirts with show things on them, like the Jetpacks Made of Beef logo with my drawing of a spaceman riding a jetpack made of beef.
Yeah,
or if you want something that says Mactified Fortune on it, or your Spicy Jody hot sauce shirts, all still available right now at the Bob Seska Show Mall. Just go to bobseska.com, click the new show link just under my head at the top of the page, and you're all set. Plus, I just added over the weekend something super nostalgic, like a throwback design into the store. I landed on, over the weekend, I was doing some backups, and I landed on a T-shirt design that I made in the year 2000, so literally 24 years ago. And it was about that series of cartoons I did called Napster Bad, where I satirized Metallica's lawsuit against Napster at the time. And of course, we released some T-shirts to go along with the cartoons. And I found one of the designs for one of those T-shirts. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put this up in the store. So
why not?
Yeah, if you want your very own Metallicops T-shirt with my cartoon drawings of James and Lars and then the kid who's in the cartoon, you can go to the store and get one of those too. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Nobody wants us to go on too long about this, but I have to say the great thing about the Bob Seska Show Mall is that you can pick the design that you want and put it on practically anything. I mean, they have mugs and stickers and magnets and shirts and it's a whole bunch of stuff. So go pick out your design that you like and the thing that you want it on and you're good to go.
Yeah. Watch the navigation panel on the left. That's where you find all the other products.
If
you
the categories.
Just, yeah, exactly. Yes, if you just click on the design on the main page, it's just going to take you to the t-shirts. If you want like the baseball style shirts or the magnets or the wall art or anything like that, the mugs.
Suitable for framing. Phone cases. For crying out loud.
And then on the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the links for all the other products and you can just peruse those at your leisure and pick up some of those things. Now with the Napster Bad Metallicops design in there. So I'm going way back. Like those of you who have been with me following what I'm doing, first of all, get the fuck out of my shrubs because the stalking is getting a little weird. But those of you who go back 25 years with me, you will find that is a particularly appropriate design. So that was in fact the catalyst for my modern career. I mean, my whole life changed with those cartoons. It's weird to say it, but it's absolutely true. So pick up one of those if you wanna. Meantime. Everyone is talking about how Donald Trump fell asleep in court yesterday.
He perks up once they get to the actual jurors, but when they're reading the instructions, this is his chance to sleep in, apparently.
It's because he's up all night, trothing on Truth Central.
Truth Central.
Probably, probably jacked on whatever it is that he needs to get going, something that Ronnie Jackson may have provided to him while he was in the White House.
Boy, we need Ronnie Jackson and we need him now.
That's right. Well, this is, I think this is indicative of what Donald Trump needed when he was president, because they were getting Ambien, like Ronnie Jackson was handing out Ambien and then he was handing out Provigil in the morning so people could wake up and feel alert from having slept all night on Ambien. So that was the cocktail of things, among others, that Ronnie Jackson was distributing. And so maybe Sleepy Don needs to be under the care of Ronnie Jackson again. Who knows? But I love some of the nicknames going around based on the fact that he fell asleep.
Oh, yeah.
Like I just mentioned Sleepy Don. That was the hashtag that was happening on social media all day yesterday. And then what else was there? Yawn Snorleone.
Jimmy Kimmel had Dozo the Clown.
Enemies of the Sleeple. I saw that this morning. So, well done, Internet. Thank you.
Drowsy J. Trump. Yes, I think.
Drowsy J. Trump. But we have a very special, I should alert you now, the image that goes along with today's show is an AI-generated courtroom sketch. I had to do it. I had to do an AI-generated courtroom sketch of Donald Trump sleeping in court. So that's the image. That's what you're looking at on your screen, on your phone, wherever you get your podcasts, et cetera. Right. That's also on Patreon, bobseska.com, et cetera.
Yes.
Yeah. So here is Maggie Haberman first reporting this on CNN yesterday.
Yeah, I have to ask, you guys have been live blogging this event. And 40 minutes ago, you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
Well, Jake, he appeared to be asleep, and, you know, repeatedly his head would fall down. There have been other moments in other trials, like the E. Jean Carroll trial, which was around the corner in January, where he appeared very still and seemed as if he might be sleeping, but then he would move. This time, he didn't pay attention to a note that his lawyer, Todd Blanche, passed him. His jaw kept falling on his chest, and his mouth kept going slack. Now, you know, sometimes people do fall asleep during court proceedings, but it's notable, given the intensity of this morning and a lot of what was being argued.
Yeah, that's rather surprising.
Yeah, rather surprising that, you know, an 80-year-old man would fall asleep in court. I love the Chris Hayes' observation on MSNBC yesterday. Is that, you know, if you're calling your opponent Sleepy Joe, you have one job. And that job is do not fall asleep in public. Not surprising at all that Donald Trump would nod off, because you know what? He's not doing a show. He's got to sit there quietly all day long as they go through jury selection, and he can't get up and he can't, you know, disrupt the proceedings. He can't scream about whatever is happening. He just has to sit there and take it. Plus, you know, he's probably, and this is how I'm going to chalk this up. Right. I think he was up all night stressed out about being in court.
Of course.
And that's why. Yeah.
Posting and stressing.
That's right. This calls to mind also something that, of course, I thought back to 2016. And remember the entire 2016 campaign? Hillary Clinton is dying.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's what we heard from Republicans, and we heard from the bro libertarians, and we heard from the Bernie people. And so Hillary Clinton is sick and dying, and she's not, she doesn't have the stamina to be president. Did you see how she stumbled at the 9/11 ceremony? Oh, my God, she's dying. Well, she had pneumonia, which tends to happen when you shake thousands and thousands of hands and you're in this climate and that climate and back and forth. And so that's what happened. She had pneumonia and stumbled a little bit. And that, of course, amplified all of the conspiracy theories about her health. And at the time, I remember, and I wrote down this quote, Donald Trump said about Hillary Clinton, this is 2016, she doesn't have the stamina. I said, she doesn't have the stamina, and I don't believe she does have the stamina. That's an actual quote from Donald Trump in 2016, before he ever became president.
We heard about her lack of stamina years ago. We hear still about Biden's lack of vigor. And then little is said, not enough is said. And that's why it's up to us to keep spreading this. Mm-hmm. That Donald Trump fell asleep. Let's just go back to yesterday alone. It's you're on criminal trial. You're in a criminal trial that could put you in jail. And by the way, I think the prospects of that have increased considerably. You are facing a criminal trial that could put you in jail, and your reaction is to fall asleep. And you don't mind prospective jurors seeing. I mean, I should take that back. I don't know that prospective jurors saw that because he did perk up once the jurors were brought into the room. Yeah. So in fairness, that's true. But how in this circumstance, this most serious of circumstances, can you fall asleep? Well, the answer is just simply there's a, you know, this is the first time in the history of this country that a former president has stood trial on criminal charges and he's falling asleep. I think it was John Stewart who said you've got to be pretty used to crimin to be so bored by your own crimes that you fall asleep at trial.
Yeah,
you know, it's just unbelievable. And so we need to spread the word that Trump can't stay awake. If he can't stay awake at his own trial that could put him in jail, can he stay awake in the Situation Room?
You know, if Judge Mershon had a sense of humor, he would lead a lion into the courtroom, and the next time Donald Trump falls asleep,
he'd lick his toes.
He could wake up and with the lion licking his toes. So it's like that Three Stooges sketch. Wah. Yeah, that would be so much fun.
Let me share with you all a fun fact about Judge Mershon.
Okay,
and why he likes to keep Wednesdays open.
Yeah,
because when Judge Mershon took the bench, he thought it would be a good idea, and he's right, to create for that jurisdiction a mental health court,
nice,
which he presides over as the head of mental health court, and he does so with great compassion.
Yeah.
He congratulates people who started taking their meds and turned their lives around, congratulates and thanks them for stepping up for the sake of their children. Mm-hmm. I mean, emotional stuff happens in his courtroom on Wednesdays. I just thought everyone would like to know that Judge Mershon, presiding over Donald Trump's trial, is a mental health judge.
That's so great. You know what? I thought you were going to say he takes Wednesdays off because he has to take care of the lion that he's going to lead into the studio to lick Donald Trump's toes.
That would have been funnier, but I thought everyone would like to be armed with the knowledge.
That's good. That's so much better.
Trump's judge is a mental health judge.
Yeah, right. But I would just love to see the look on Donald Trump's face when he wakes up and there's a lion licking his toes.
You're still on the lion.
Yes, yeah. I can't stop thinking about that. That's so much fun.
There's the next T-shirt, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I know that he hates sharks. Like,
yes,
one of the things he hates most are sharks.
Yeah.
And so
they're on his mind. Yeah.
I wonder if we could get a shark to lick his toes.
To lick his toes, sure.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, it would. I don't know if anybody other than you and I right now are enjoying this. And maybe a few Three Stooges fans. But if we go shark, we're going to lose everybody. So.
Well, he doesn't have to be in court tomorrow. So there's a lot of time on Wednesday to grab a shark from somewhere and bring it in and have it lick Donald Trump's toes on Thursday.
There he is. A boy can hope. I'll keep my fingers crossed for you, Bob.
Hey, speaking of days away from court, let's be perfectly clear about this, because this is one of those lies that is going to metastasize into the normals, into the normal half of the political discourse.
All right.
The lie is that Donald Trump isn't allowed to go to Barron's graduation. That wasn't decided. Judge Mershon said, well, yeah, I mean, I think he can go. It just depends on how we're doing on schedule. If there are a lot of unnecessary delays, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Donald Trump. If you start to pull these shenanigans where you're delaying the trial and stalling and acting out.
Exactly. There's the point.
Yeah.
There's the point right there. This is as much of a granted. It's like, yes, we can go for ice cream if you're good.
Yeah.
This is a way of saying to Trump and Trump's lawyers, if you jerks could keep dragging your feet the way you are and object to every damn thing that happens in this courtroom, then yeah, maybe you can have Friday, May 17th off to attend your son's graduation at Oxbridge Academy in Palm Beach.
Right.
Maybe that can be arranged, but not if you guys continue to drag your feet and continue to object. Trump's lawyers have been told by whoever's running Trump's lawyers, I mean, it trickles down from Trump, and then there's like a lawyer who bosses all the other lawyers around. Anyway, their instructions are to object to everything, to resist everything, to delay anything, to appeal everything. That's their job, is to buy time. They still want to push this until after the election. Judge Mershon's not having any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Judge Mershon, and this is what Bob is talking about here, don't let the public buy into the, oh, Judge Mershon wouldn't let Trump go to his son's graduation. Oh, Judge Mershon said he could go if he didn't jerk around and delay. So if Trump is a good boy, he gets to have ice cream, and that's how simple that is.
That's right. It reminds me of when I was a little boy, and I would ask my mom for permission to do something, and she would go, "We'll see."
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Judge Mershon said. We'll see. If you're a good boy, then yes. If you're a bad boy, I don't think so. But we'll see.
Yeah, well, and as parents know, I mean, that we'll see has to be contingent on our reward punishment system. I mean, if you clean your room, yes, we can go get ice cream. Mm-hmm. And that's what Judge Mershon has done here, is made it contingent upon Trump's cooperation.
Yeah.
So there's a specific tie there.
But naturally, the waterworks began. Like Eric Trump was, how dare they not let my dad go to Barron's graduation? What monsters they are.
He only has the one son.
That's right. I would wager that Donald Trump couldn't tell you Barron's birthday. I don't think he knows anything about his family, his own family. I don't think he knows the name of his grandkids. I bet he couldn't name the names of his grandkids.
He knew what day he could get out of court. He wants to go to the graduation of the son who was being nursed by his mother while he was banging Karen McDoodle. I like McDoodle better, actually. I'm going to go with that.
Karen McDoodle.
Karen McDoodle. Karen McDougal. While he was banging her, Barron was being breastfed at the time.
Yeah.
Gee, I hope he's not listening.
Well, that's Lawrence O'Donnell was saying that last night in his A-blog.
You know, stop the hammering!
He wasn't saying that. He was saying that, and by the way, Lawrence O'Donnell's trolling of Donald Trump is world fucking class, by the way. So he was saying last night that if Donald Trump was so interested in spending time with Barron, he should have spent that time with Barron when he was 5 months old instead of banging Stormy Daniels and getting spanked with a magazine.
Right.
Was he spanking Stormy Daniels spanked himself?
He wanted Stormy to spank him with a financial. And I've heard various versions of this. The latest I've heard is it was a financial magazine with his face on the cover.
Yes, that's right.
That he wanted her. Now, I don't know if he chose that specifically for that reason, but he wanted her to spank him with the magazine. Mm-hmm. And this is the other thing people get confused on. Not that it matters a whole lot, but I'm a stickler for the facts.
Yeah.
He didn't have an affair with Stormy Daniels. There was no affair.
Yeah.
That was a one-time, wham, bam, no thank you, ma'am sort of encounter.
Yep.
Whereas Karen McDougal, that was an affair. She was counting on him being her guy, even while Melania was nursing Barron. So just so people understand, when Karen McDougal is mentioned, she's more than just a Playboy model. She was his, for quite a while, paramour.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Hal Sparks was making that exact same point on Mega Worldwide yesterday, that the definition of affair means an ongoing thing.
Right.
And the thing with Stormy Daniels wasn't an ongoing thing.
Right.
It was just, I think, one of Trump's many obsessions. And, you know, he had to do it. And it was weird and awkward. And now he's in big trouble. He's defending his freedom because of that. When he should have been spending time with Barron Trump when he was 5 months old.
You know, and I'm delighted that Judge Marchant is not afraid to use the J word, meaning jail.
Okay.
He's used it a couple of times to make it clear to Trump that when we say you need to be in court every day, we're not kidding. Mm-hmm. And when we say you cannot disrupt this court in any way, we're not kidding.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean, and Trump's doing all his little smirking and his facial expressions and glaring at reporters and staring at the jury and all the things that he normally does. But if he does anything to disrupt the trial, Marchant has made it clear that jail is absolutely effing an option.
Yeah, yeah. What are they called again? I think they're called Parker warnings.
Parker warnings. Yes, yeah, yeah. Yes.
The Parker warnings. If you haven't read the Parker warnings that were issued to Donald Trump at the beginning of yesterday's proceedings, it was harsh. It was like, okay, don't fuck around. If you fuck around, we're going to snap you back. And that's exactly what's going to go on here. Trump was affirming that. Trump had to affirm that he understands the Parker warnings.
Yeah. The Parker warnings, by the way, were inspired by Ray Parker Jr.'s Somebody's Watching Me. I don't know if you remember that song from the 80s. Parker warnings were developed.
Yeah, yeah. So it has to do with the defendant's right to be present and so forth. And if he misses any days in court, that he will be sanctioned for that, and that sanction could include being thrown in jail.
Yes, yeah. The J word is being used out loud now.
Yep.
So those of you who thought it couldn't happen, it still probably won't, but it could. More than ever, it could.
Yeah, and so, by the way, Judge Marchant has ruled that Karen McDougal's story is, in fact, admissible. McDougal.
McDougal is correct. Yeah, it is, and I'm so enjoyed the nuances of this because it's portrayed as though it's a victory for Trump's side that the prosecution is not allowed to play the Access Hollywood tape about grabbing women.
Yeah.
But they can quote it directly.
Yeah, yeah.
And although they cannot, although the prosecution cannot outline all the accusations by various women against Donald Trump, they can absolutely call Karen McDougal to the stand. So
yeah.
For all the little victories Trump may have won yesterday, the prosecution's victories were much more and much bigger.
Okay, here are the Parker warnings. I now have them in front of me. I scrambled to grab them. Yeah. The Ray Parker Jr. warnings.
Warnings, yes.
Yeah, who are you going to call? Huey Lewis in the news, apparently. This is, of course, read to the defendant. Judge Marchant said, you have the right to be present in court at any proceeding, including, in particular, a hearing and trial. Do you understand? Trump said, yes, sir. He actually said, yes, sir, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, sir. He did it like he almost did a sir story. No, I wasn't going to do that. Yeah. However, by your conduct, you can waive, give up, forfeit, or lose that right to be present. Add if defendant is in jail. If you deliberately refuse to come to court when required or in any way deliberately obstruct or interfere with the effort to bring you to court, then any proceeding in your case, including hearing, trial, and if you are convicted, sentence, can and will continue in your absence. Do you understand? Trump said yes. And then if you deliberately fail to appear in court when required, then any proceeding in your case, including hearing, trial, and if you are convicted, sentence, can and will continue in your absence. A warrant for your arrest will be issued and you will be subject to separate prosecution and separate punishment for bail jumping, no matter what happens in this case. Do you understand? And Donald Trump said yes. Mm-hmm. And the content of the Parker warning aside, the very fact that Donald Trump was forced to attest to those things, to affirm those things.
Right, to agree to those things.
To me, I'm loving that. I mean, this is all so wonderful. The fact that Donald Trump is under stress, that Donald Trump is under strain, I think this is going to affect his health. I think this is going to affect how he's able to campaign, because every day that he's in court in New York City, he's not going to be able to be out doing rallies and spreading the toxic fucking awfulness. He's not going to be able to do any of that shit. And so that is very, very exciting to me and very encouraging. No matter how this election turns out, the fact that Donald Trump is going through stress right now should be a point of satisfaction for all of us.
Not just that, not just the schadenfreude of Trump's stress, but the fact that every revelation that comes out during this trial, the testimony, the soundbite, they won't be soundbites because they won't be recordings in court, but the quotes that come out of this trial from Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen and Karen McDougal and David Pecker, the quotes that come out of this trial.
Did you say David Pecker?
Are going to be, you know, I thought about that before the show. Great minds, juvenile minds think alike.
Sorry.
No, don't be. I thought of it myself, and I couldn't be more proud. But
so we're going to hear all this testimony from these people, including David Pecker.
Win or lose, the tremendous amount of damage is going to be done to Trump by this trial over a long, slow period of time. It's like the old George Carlin joke, saliva causes cancer, but only if swallowed in small amounts over a long period of time. Well, that's the sort of death of a thousand cuts that Trump may die over the course of this trial over the next couple of months. And you know, it's possible there could be a hung jury. I mean, he could walk, and so we're counting on these each and every revelations. It does worry me that it's only going to, and especially when I've read the comments of New Yorkers on the street, as collected by the Washington Post, it terrifies me to know that one not guilty vote on that, and it becomes a mistrial. You know, and he may walk from that. So that disturbs me greatly. But I do think there will be a conviction. I think the conviction is probable. And I think that every day of the trial, once testimony begins, will hurt him.
Yeah, and I think he's going to continue to delay anyway. I think he's going to stall. He's going to use all the typical tactics that he normally does. He's going to see what he can get away with acting out in court a little bit. In fact, I'm starting to, the fact that he did it again today, that he fell asleep again today, I'm starting to get suspicious that he's going to turn it into a bit. Like he's going to turn it into a thing.
There you go with your conspiratorial mind.
I know. What can I do? But the thing is, if people are talking about him falling asleep in court every day, they're not talking about the substance of what happened in court. And that may be something that he uses to his advantage. I don't know.
I don't expect that as much. I think what we need to do, and the way that I think to prevent that, Bob, is for us, like we were talking about earlier, is for all of us to run with the message that he keeps falling asleep at the very trial that could put him behind bars. Yeah. And that if we're worried about anybody's mental state, let's worry about the guy who seems most likely to fall asleep in the meetings of the Situation Room.
Well, I think the thing about missing Barron's graduation, I think he's going to miss it. I think he's going to make it so that he can't go. And he's going to use that as a point of, oh, look at me. Look how vicious they're being to me and how awful they're being to Trump.
Agreed.
You know, and that's going to be, and because he uses that, of course, to raise money. He uses that to gain sympathy. He uses that to distract his own people from examining the actual facts of the case, which if they did, they might start to look at Donald Trump with a bit of a side eye at the very least.
Right.
So he doesn't want that. He needs to make sure that his entire base is in line and that he loses no one. So the more he can distract with shenanigans, I think the more he's going to try to get away with doing that.
I the Washington Post, and I alluded to this earlier, stopped like a dozen people in Manhattan on the street. They are not prospective jurors. They have no, but you know, the reporters just wanted to know, well, what are people going to say if we just randomly stop people on the street, people who were at least willing to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a 49-year-old guy from the Upper West Side who works in e-commerce.
Oh God.
And, he said, do you think you could be an impartial juror? And he says, honestly, I think I could because I don't pay attention to politics these days. It's too stressful.
Okay,
so there's one. Here's Donald Williams. He's 56 from Chelsea. He's a barber. Oh, one thing I do like about him, he states how he feels. Says this African-American barber from Manhattan.
Yeah.
Ava Delaney is 23 years old, lives in the West Village, and she's an actor, musician.
Uh-huh.
I got to quote her directly here. Do you think you could be an impartial juror if you were asked to serve on that jury? And here's her direct quote. So basically, an unbiased voice? I would try, honestly, but I think it would be impossible. I think there is really no alternative. Like, what could be argued but is false in so many infinite things? What?
What is Donald Trump writing her responses? That doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah, and so they ask her, you know, stunned, the reporter asked her, do you remember the first time you heard of him as a candidate? And by the way, Bob, this raises an interesting issue. She says 2015, probably. And so I was 15 and in high school and a young queer person. And it was a very aggressive energy and very confusing to see how that like process happened where he got elected. Again, quoting again, that process happened where he got elected. It was heartbreaking at the time, for sure. She says that's what she remembers. And Bob, that's the thing. A lot of the young people voting in this election, or not voting in this election, were 15 years old back when this stuff happened.
It's insane.
And they were not paying attention to politics at the time.
Right.
So these are the kinds of things that we're working about. I see a fair person here says he can decide on his own based on the evidence. Here's a woman that says she couldn't. She can't stand Donald Trump, so she could not serve. So you get this mixture of people. But what struck me about this sort of survey of 12 people at random is that they're dumb. They lack in. I was trying to find a polite way to put it.
Sure.
Here's Brandon Guzman. From Soho. He's 24 years old, works in banking and financial services. Mm-hmm. He says, no, I have a biased opinion. I think the media distorted my current perspective, and it's hard for me to gain any sort of judgment, truly. One moment I'm pro-left, and the next moment I'm pro-right. It's interesting, because I really would like to understand what is truth, but currently it's hard for me to trust the news that I'm getting. And if that doesn't sum up America, I don't know what does.
Right.
Thank you for letting me share some of that with you, because these things really struck me. The stupidity of people on the street.
Oh, God, yeah.
The blindness of people. But I guess if there's an upside to that, it's that now people are starting to pay attention. Mm-hmm. This is why I think some of the polls are starting to turn around a bit.
Did any potential juror say, never attack uphill, me boys? Did they ever say that?
None of them spoke Irish or pirate, to my knowledge.
Did anyone say, Gettysburg, wow? No?
Well, everyone says that.
We got to talk about that. We got to take a short break, and when we come back, we got to talk about Donald Trump's thing about Gettysburg. One of those deals where he doesn't know anything and then pretends to know something, and you can tell quite obviously that he doesn't know anything. It's like, again, this high school kid who doesn't do the homework and then has to explain in class and then makes it up.
I can't wait to get it. Let us towel off and come back.
Yes, sounds great. Back with more podcasting right after these words.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long! Whoa. Shut up! Why don't you just shut up? Shut up! Why don't you just shut up? If you want to get with someone like
is basically, this is Jody just telling people to shut up. Do you get that message? I do.
I do.
I get the sense that she wants people to shut the fuck up.
Okay, yeah.
Shut up and dance.
Right. It's a little spicy, actually. Yeah.
The great spicy Jody Hamilton and Lonnie Paul, her husband, with this incredible single that I don't know if you can download it yet. Something tells me that she did post it, I think, on a SoundCloud, so I'm going to have to find this for the link in the description. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's a great. You know what? I detect in that young woman a little attitude. I don't know if you caught that or not.
Well, at the Busboys and Poets event with Debriana and Lisa the other night, Jody's name did come up quite a bit in conversation as like, oh, you know, Jody is so cool. Jody is the best. Jody is so awesome. Sure. She's everybody's cool friend, and I love that. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. All right, so one last thing on court and Donald Trump in court.
Yes.
Who the fuck is Clay Travis? Is he like a country singer? Is that who Clay Travis is? I don't know who Clay Travis is. Is he a member of Congress?
I thought he would. Let me look that up because.
Yeah, I think he might be a podcaster. Let me see here. Where's his Twitter bio? Outkick.com.
American Clay writer and lawyer.
Yeah. Clay and Buck Radio, author, American playbook, dad of three boys, lawyer.
45 years old.
Okay.
And Eric Swalwell has accused Clay Travis of jury tampering.
Yeah.
Which is what you're here to talk to us about.
That's right, which is a felony, by the way. Clay Travis tweeted this out. If you're a Trump supporter in New York City who is part of the jury pool, do everything you can to get seated on the jury, then refuse to convict as a matter of principle, dooming the case via hung jury. It's the most patriotic thing you could possibly do.
No.
And saying this is the most illegal thing you could possibly do.
There's nothing patriotic. There's nothing patriotic about it. It is in fact illegal.
It is jury tampering. Yeah. So I hope someone in law enforcement is taking a look at this guy, Clay Travis, who is neither a member of Congress nor a country singer. So I was like way off with both of those.
Sounds like he could be either or both, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of way off, I of course am like I don't know what you would call us. I guess I'm a Civil War buff, as they said on Seinfeld. George Costanza always wanted to be a Civil War buff. Well, I happen to be a Civil War buff, and I know a thing or two about Gettysburg. I've been there literally thousands of times, and I've studied that particular battle quite extensively and the Civil War, so I know probably more than most about it.
You are virtually a scholar, and I think it's worth repeating that when you go to Gettysburg and you wear your little hat. No, even when you
even
when you don't wear the hat, even before I gave you the hat, people would ask you, do you work here? Are you a ranger? Because you knew so much about the history. I was a dumb, lazy kid. And because it was war, it sounded unpleasant. So I didn't really pay a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And or I didn't have very good teachers because I was never properly educated on that. I've learned a lot since in my more adult years and certainly by hanging around you. But you are, I'm a complete dummy and you're an expert, but I'm still smarter than the guy we're talking about here.
That was the first couple lines of Lincoln's first draft of the Gettysburg Address. It was war and it was a little unpleasant.
If I had been his speechwriter, you know...
Four score and 7 years ago, it was war and it was unpleasant.
A little unpleasant,
So... Donald Trump was doing a rally Saturday night because he's only doing, I think, one rally a week because I think that's all he can handle. I don't think he can do those daily rallies like he used to do. So he was talking about Gettysburg because he happened to be in Pennsylvania. And here's how this turned out.
It's where the Army weathered its brutal winter at Valley Forge, where General George Washington led his men on a daring mission across the Delaware, and where our Union was saved by... the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg.
I think, you know what? I think he believes that Gettysburg was part of the Revolutionary War. I think he was combining all those things into one.
Well, if they wanted to keep them separate, it shouldn't have been so close to Philadelphia.
Oh, God. And it gets worse, by the way.
I'm here with solutions.
What an unbelievable... battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable I mean, it was so much and so interesting. And
it was so much and so interesting. That was also part of the first draft of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. It was so much and it was so interesting. Fourscore something.
This is the good part here. Yes.
This is where he's making shit up. He doesn't know anything about Gettysburg, even though he's been there. Even though he served as president for 4 years, knows nothing. All he can say is it was very interesting.
Play this part of it, and then I'll tell you what my wife said about it.
Okay, I can't wait.
And where our Union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was. The Battle of Gettysburg, what an unbelievable... I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways.
Hang on. It was so beautiful and so more than 5,000 dead horses and mules littered those fields, those farm fields outside of the town. The stench alone from the horses, not to mention the 7,000 plus human bodies on the battlefield.
Didn't I say unpleasant?
Yeah, unpleasant, far from beautiful. My God.
No. Well, see, and he's run out of words. He is thinking here, and he doesn't know if he's accurate. This is really what it is. He doesn't know if he's being accurate or not. So if he uses all of the words, some of them are bound to be correct.
Yes. Eventually, he may find his way to something that's actually insightful.
So this is my favorite part of the whole thing where he's trying to describe a terrible, beautiful...
So interesting and so vicious and horrible. And
horrible.
So beautiful in so many different ways.
So many different ways that he can't name at all.
So my wife taught elementary school, fifth and sixth grade.
Uh-huh.
And I said, this is the part where in the book report
where
the teacher says, Johnny, go back to your seat. You obviously didn't read the assignment. And that's what my wife's reaction was. This is like a kid faking his way through an oral book report in front of the class, groping at words.
Yeah.
It's worth hearing over and over again because you hear him trying every word, hoping one of them will be correct.
Only he's 80 years old, and he's running to have control over the nuclear codes once again. This is their guy. This is their messiah. He's been to Gettysburg.
Portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, no. Wow. Gettysburg. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I
go to Gettysburg and say, hey, Kimberly, you want to go up to Gettysburg to look and to watch?
And to watch to see if the battle will start up again.
That's right.
Good Lord.
All kinds of, you know, you read about every day, people blogging about it, posting on social media. Yeah, I went up to Gettysburg to look and to watch. What the fuck are you watching at Gettysburg?
And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor.
No longer in favor. I mean, who says that? Talk about being a weirdo. Yeah, Robert E. Lee, he's no longer in favor.
He's fallen out of favor, Bob.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, Jesus, does he believe that Robert E. Lee is still alive? Is that what he's saying?
Or that he's been in favor any time in recent history?
Yeah, but he's no longer in favor. He's such a weirdo.
No longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill.
Okay, he said it twice. Never fight uphill, me boys. This has been making me laugh out loud since Saturday night. I was going around at the event the other night, Sunday night, at Bus Boys and Poets, say, did you hear Donald Trump say, never fight uphill, me boys? He thinks Robert E. Lee is Irish, apparently.
Or a pirate.
Yeah.
Me boys, yes, yeah.
There's no such quote whatsoever. There's not even anything close. I've studied this shit. I know what Robert E. Lee said, the famous things that he said. No one has ever said, never attack uphill, me boys.
Well, actually, Bob, someone did. It was in the movie The Outsiders.
That's
regarding
right.
Regarding a rumble at a ski resort near Tulsa.
That's what Obi-Wan Kenobi said to Anakin Skywalker at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Never attack uphill, me boys.
No, I'm serious. That quote is from the movie The Outsiders.
Is it really
never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. That's from the movie The Outsiders.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, that's
Oh my God, I had no idea. So he's actually quoting the Francis Ford Coppola movie with Ralph Macchio and Rob Lowe, and it's never fight uphill, me boys, is the quote?
Apparently so.
Wow. So that's a mixed reference. Holy shit.
I'm continuing to research this as we discuss it.
Okay. But never fight uphill, me boys. So if you want to know the whole thing with fighting uphill, because there is a factor about Gettysburg that had to do with not fighting uphill.
Okay.
General John Buford was commander of a Union cavalry division. And John Buford, who I believe was the hero of Gettysburg, implemented a strategy known as defense in depth, which meant that he understood that if the Confederates seized the high ground outside the town, Cemetery Hill, Culp's Hill, and the Round Tops, then it would be like a repeat of Fredericksburg, where the Union Army would have to attack the Confederate Army uphill. So consequently, John Buford decided, okay, we're going to use this tactic so that when the Confederates push us back, they're going to push us back onto the high ground, so that at the end of the day, the Union Army, the Army of the Potomac, will be in control of the high ground. And it played out exactly that way. Robert E. Lee's divisions pushed the Union Army back through the town, right onto the high ground, exactly where John Buford wanted them to be at the end of the first day. And you know what Robert E. Lee ordered his first corps to do? Attack the Union Army uphill, which Robert E. Lee continued to do throughout the 3 days of battle. Every day of the battle, he was attacking uphill at Culp's Hill. On the second day, famously, Robert E. Lee attacking uphill on Little Round Top. Robert E. Lee attacking uphill to Cemetery Ridge. I mean, this, Robert E. Lee spent the entire three-day battle attacking uphill, the exact opposite of what Donald Trump said he warned not to do. Me boys. Robert E. Lee never once said the phrase, me boys, and I think it's utterly hilarious that somewhere in Donald Trump's worm-infested brain, he's thinking that Civil War people used to say, me boys, at the end of sentences. And these idiots in my audience, they'll never know. My fanboys will think, well, yeah, that sounds old-timey. I guess that was something that Robert E. Lee said.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It sounded old-timey to him, and that's why he said it.
Yes. So have you been able to confirm up or down about the Outsiders?
It's looking more... Alex Hurd, who is the editorial director of Outside Magazine, is the one who claims it's from the movie The Outsiders. So I that's the best I can find. I think he's credible.
Yeah. I don't remember, and it would be impossible, I think. When you said you were going to research it, I was like, I don't envy you. Because every reference to never attack uphill, me boys, is going to be everything that comes up on Google is going to be about Donald Trump saying it Saturday night.
Mostly it is, but you have to look around that kind of stuff, and that's how I'm finding some of this, yeah.
Never fall asleep in court, me boys. God.
That's right. That's a good one.
Jesus. That is a staggering bit of bullshit from Donald Trump about maybe one of the most important battles in American history. Which, I mean, if Donald Trump had said that, even, that would have been more insightful than
that's
what
he
actually said.
And he started out, and then I think there was a moment where he was uncertain of whether he was correct.
He was
so
uncertain.
He went from terrible to wonderful. So he made sure, if I put them both in, one of them's going to be right.
What he didn't want to do is to commit to which side he was rooting for at Gettysburg.
Right. Well, that too. That's true, too. Yeah,
I think he may have started to go down the road of, yes, this was a great Union victory. It saved the United States, which it actually did. I mean, if Robert E. Lee had not had relentless diarrhea at Gettysburg, then maybe things would have turned out differently for the United States, for the fortunes of the Civil War and so forth. You know, but he didn't want to commit to saying that this was good news, that the Union won Gettysburg, because he knows who his people are. They're bringing Dixie flags to Donald Trump rallies and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
So he's trying to walk this fine line of not pissing off his fanboys while also talking about Gettysburg, which is why he started talking about Robert E. Lee, because he thought he maybe could segue to the statues or something. I don't know. Woke culture somehow. I don't know. Anyway, Trump also said he wants to have elections whenever he's leading in the polls. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because this is maybe a hint of something that he may try to wheel out once he's already president. If Donald Trump wins this election and becomes dictator, he's going to use what we've seen from other dictators as far as techniques to stay in office, which he's going to have elections, but they're going to be the kinds of elections where he wins with 90% of the vote. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sort of like what Vladimir Putin does. And so maybe moving the elections around so that they coincide with his poll numbers being up is one of the tricks that he'll use. Yeah,
that's like saying the Green Bay Packers only want to play in the Super Bowl when they're leading.
I wish we could move the election to Tuesday. Is there anything we can do?
No, you don't.
I want to move the election.
No, you can't.
I got to stop that. There's more to it, but I can't stand to hear when he gets like that.
It's enough, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and there was a fun short circuit. You want to hear Donald Trump's short circuit?
Oh, this is Saturday? My favorite. Yes,
yeah.
Please.
He was either trying to say alien or algorithm. Take your pick, but here it was.
Just this week, it was reported that an illegal Ad Linnerthan, and you just look at this, what's happening.
Ad Linnerthan. Be sure and... He had forgotten to take his Ed Linnerthan before the speech.
I got to hear that one again.
Just this week, it was reported that an illegal Ed Linnerthan, and you just look at this.
Ed Linnerthan.
Ed Linnerthan, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Escort by name.
Right, isn't that a brand of cracker? Ed Linnerthans?
I thought it was a medication I saw advertised on the news. Ed Linnerthan.
That's a medication that Ronnie Jackson gave him at some point.
Ask your doctor if Ed Linnerthan is right for you.
Just this week, it was reported that an illegal Ed Linnerthan, and you just look at this, what's happening.
Yeah. You just look at this, what's happening about the Ed Linnerthan.
You just heard the elementary school book report from Donald Trump on the Civil War. You've heard him mangle the word alien, algorithm, whatever
something.
It is,
yeah.
To Ed Lithium. And whatever he changed it to.
Right.
And earlier you heard about him falling asleep at the trial that could put him in jail.
Yeah.
So this is the guy, again, it is our job, your job, my job, everybody's job to remind everybody else that this is the man we want to put in the Situation Room.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Nope, 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 nope. Enough fuckery, by the way, especially from some people who are deciding, hey, God damn it, Joe Biden sucks, so I'm going to vote for RFK Jr.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It could be a lot of progressives out there who think that it's a smart move to vote against Joe Biden somehow.
We're still like 6.5 or nearly 7 months away from the election, so there's still time, I think, to get through to some of those people. I think some of those people will fall off the more they learn between now and Election Day, and it is, again, our job to help with that.
Well, we actually have some good news along those lines coming up on the Shatter Docket portion of the show, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow to subscribe, $5 a month. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, you know, we got to talk about Truth Central.
Truth Central.
Which continues to collapse, and I'm so here for it.
Bob's going to give you some numbers and take some joy in that, and I've got some stories of supporters who continue to hang on to their Truth Central stock.
Yeah, lots more to talk about here on today's show. Back with more podcasting right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. David Pecker entered into a non-prosecution agreement with the district attorney in New York, meaning we will not prosecute you or your company, but you have to provide truthful testimony to us about what this payment to Karen McDougal was for. And he did that. And he said that the reason why they were paying Karen McDougal at this point in time was not to hide it from Melania. It was specifically done ahead of an election so that the election would not be tainted with Karen McDougal's story. Same thing with Stormy Daniels' story. And that's the felony. The felony is doing it in order to change the result of an election and not saying that it was an election expenditure. Now, if he would have said it was an election expenditure, I don't know, maybe he'd be in trouble with the FEC or, you know, not that they do anything about anything. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to RandyRhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska plays more music.
As I walk to work, the ground split beneath my feet.
And as I palmed my chest, I felt that I was somehow incomplete. I was the shell of a woman that I was supposed to be. But somehow that was less important than the hellscape on 9th Street. By my lunch break, the sky had cracked.
Oh, the great Karma and the Killjoys and a song called Hellscape on 9th Street.
Yeah.
Love this song. Link in the description to download it. Get it into your record collection now. Just do it, do it, do it. BobSeska.com. Find this episode dated 4/16/24. Click that link, scroll on down, and you'll find it.
Yeah. I like it too. Yeah. And the keyboard opening, the piano opening, reminded me to mention kind of a salute, kind of a one-finger salute to CBS.
Yeah.
For those of you who are Billy Joel fans may have noticed that when about the time the microphone smelled like a beer is when CBS decided to just cut off the broadcast and throw it to local news.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They were in the middle of what was probably his closing song, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and the network schedule in the Central and Eastern time zones had run late because of the racist Masters golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And so that pushed the whole evening schedule back. And so Tracker ran like until 9:30 Eastern time.
Yeah.
And so Billy Joel got started about a half an hour late. And so, I don't know, CBS made up some of the time but decided to just hack off the last, his most popular song during his 100th appearance at
Smart.
Carnegie Hall. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Again, a tip of the CBS cap to the guys in the audio booth.
You know, your name came up Sunday on more than one occasion. There were a couple of discussions. This was not during the actual show, but afterward, number of discussions about Sinclair Media and their takeover of local news.
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, that's something that's one of Buzz's big issues. And so every time a new story comes up along those lines, we got to make sure we report on it. But my favorite story to talk about right now is the ongoing collapse of Truth Central.
Truth Central.
Today, just so you're aware, and I don't mind saying it, Truth Central's stock price is down 12.21%.
Just today.
Yes.
And I think we reported this last week, and it's still true, and even more so. The stock is worth less than half of what it was when it appeared on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the long-term chart, you know, it's always fun to see the dramatic drop-off charts.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the long-term chart, what you'll see is over the last few weeks, the value of Trump's stock just skipping across the bottom of the chart like a stone on water. It's skimming zero is what it's doing at this point. And a lot of people put a lot of money into that, and they've now lost the majority of their money.
And inside, while Donald Trump is sleeping, inside his worm-infested brain, this scene gets played
out. This is an outrage. I demand an investigation. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
I would like to read you just a little, if I may, from the world of Trump supporters who have bought shares in Truth Central.
Stupid.
Trump Media or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
For shareholders like, I'm skipped ahead here because you got to get the guy's whole name, Jerry Dean McLean.
Okay.
Jerry Dean McLean first bet on former President Donald Trump's Truth Social 2 years ago, buying into the company's planned merger partner, Digital World Acquisition, at $90 a share.
That makes me laugh.
Over time, as the price changed, he kept buying, amassing hundreds of shares for $25,000. Pretty much his whole nest egg. That nest egg has lost more than half its value in the last 2 weeks as Trump Media and Technology Group share price dropped from $66 after its public debut last month to $26 on Monday. What's it down to today, Bob?
It's down to $23.45 right now. Yeah,
dropped another $3-4.
Yep.
But McLean, age 71, who owns a tree removal service outside Oklahoma City, said he's not worried. If anything, he wants to buy more.
Good.
And I know good and well it's in Trump's hands and he's got plans, he said. I have no doubt it's going to explode sometime. Oh, yeah, Jerry Dean, just not in the way you think.
No, absolutely not.
McLean, I just want to, in the last end, I skipped all the way to the bottom of the article. McLean is an amateur trader. He invested only once before and, quote, lost his butt.
Enron.
And said he hasn't talked to his family about investment. Uh-huh. He has not talked to his family about this investment. He hasn't told his family that he put the entire nest egg in Trump's money. And he says, quote, you know how that is. But he believes the Trump media deal is a sign that he's supposed to invest. That's a quote also. This isn't just another stock to me. I feel like it was God Almighty that put it in my lap, he said. And I've just got to hold on and let them do their job. If you go on emotion, you'll get out of this thing the first time it goes down.
Yeah, you know what you need to do is, I got to find where this guy lives. I got to go sell him some magic beans.
That is the mind of the investor in Trump Social, which continues to skip the bottom. Yeah, whatever. Which continues to skim zero.
Yeah. What a bunch of idiots, and they don't know. That's the crazy thing about it. There's a long history of this.
The funny thing
business
about it.
Failure for Donald Trump, and they're loading in with all of their money. Those goddamn suckers, they deserve the destitution that's going to go along with latching your wagon to the Donald Trump fail machine.
Right. They just do not see it.
It is so endlessly hilarious to me. It's just, you know, they just follow along with whatever Donald Trump offers. They're going to be on that bandwagon.
One theory about Trump's drooping head in the trial yesterday is he was watching his stock go down.
That's right. So TMTG has decided, because Donald Trump makes things worse for Donald Trump, they have decided now to issue more stock, thus diluting the stock and accelerating the decline. One of the reasons why the stock price is down 12 percentage points today is because they decided to issue more shares in this failing company. And that's taken as a signal that, oh my God, this stock is in a lot more trouble than we thought. And the of course, Donald Trump is suing the co-founders of the thing because they can't get their hands on the stock to cash out before it continues to collapse. I mean, it's fun, but it's also easy because we know, because we read things. We know that whatever Donald Trump invests in, whatever Donald Trump comes up with, is going to be a failure. Even his presidency failed. The Donald Trump president, when you're talking about the Trump things, you got your Trump steaks and Trump vodka, Trump University, Trump Foundation, and you go through the whole list of failed Trump airlines, failed Trump things. You got to include with that the Trump presidency, because it failed just as badly as his businesses did. Yet people are reinvesting in another Trump presidency, not realizing that it too is going to be a disaster, only this time it's going to be a disaster that's going to blow back in our faces, whether we've supported him or not. And that's the tragedy of it, that in the context of the Trump presidency, it does drag all of us down. It's not just like Jerry Dean investing his money in Truth Central.
Right.
That just affects Jerry Dean. But this would be like an investment into a thing that would actually affect all of us. So let's not be stupid,
Indeed. And I know you have more. I know there's more show, but do you mind if I jump in here and ramble around on my phone to find some breaking news? First of all, let me tell you, and I haven't had a chance to examine this more carefully, but there's a big case before the Supreme Court today that could get two of the four charges dropped against Trump for trying to overturn the election. Mm. And those two charges are based on a law that it has to do with obstruction of an official government proceeding.
Yes.
That's the same thing that hundreds of January 6 rioters have been convicted on. So if the court says this law cannot be applied to January 6th, then Trump walks on two of those four charges, and hundreds of January 6th rioters are then released from prison.
Yep.
That's one thing that's going on. I'll try to get further answers. All I know right now is the court is deeply divided on that. How evenly or unevenly divided, I don't yet know. We've also heard from Trump's lawyers back in New York at his election interference trial with Stormy Daniels and the hush money. We heard from his lawyers, I think, yesterday. Mm-hmm. By gosh, he's going to be present every time There's a sidebar with a juror, you know, with the judge. As of today, Trump has waived his right to be present for those sidebars. He grew tired of it very quickly.
Wow.
So that's an update there. Mm-hmm. And a federal appeals court has overturned, and this is one of the things I know you want to talk about,
Bob. Yeah.
A federal appeals court has overturned a West Virginia transgender sports ban, finding that the West Virginia law violates Title IX. So this is a case where an anti-trans law has now been overturned as a violation of Title IX. And I thought that would be very good news, especially in the context of what I know you want to yet discuss.
Yeah, on a separate case, the court is allowing Idaho to keep its ban on gender-affirming care.
Right.
This is the Supreme Court.
Now, I was reporting on a federal appeals court just so we have the distinction.
Yeah, no, this is
but
the.
You're
yeah.
right. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court is ruling on, yes.
Right. So there was that decision that got handed down. Good job, progressives in 2016 who voted for Jill Stein. I hope voting your conscience was well worth it. Meantime, the Supreme Court will not be weighing in on McKesson versus Doe, therefore leaving in place a lower court ruling that effectively eliminated the right to organize a mass protest. Essentially, what the ruling is if you organize a mass protest and someone as part of that protest commits a crime, then the organizers of the protest can be held liable. And this, of course, is specifically about Black Lives Matter. And, you know, some of the alleged crimes that were done during those BLM protests, right?
Does this mean Trump could be held liable for January 6th?
I would think so. Yeah. Yeah. But in this case, right, this effectively does incentivizes not having mass protests because you don't want to be held liable if you're people
or
something.
Or at least not having a central organization for it. I can see how a thing like that could come together without the aid of a central organizer.
Yeah, yeah. So this is, and that could be a workaround, sure, but this, of course, cuts right to the freedom of assembly in the First Amendment
speech,
and so forth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Just not good news. And the just going back to the gender-affirming care thing, too, we talked about this on Friday on the After Party, that there are lots of vigilantism going on right now. People trying to enforce bathroom laws in places where it doesn't apply. The bathroom law doesn't apply, like private businesses and so forth. You get a lot of people in bathrooms seeing a trans person and harassing that trans person. And in some cases, beating them up. Of course, there's some violence involved as well. And this all has to do with just the rank awfulness and cynicism coming from the Red Hat Entertainment Complex. People like Michael Knowles and Matt Walsh and Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens, who have been relentlessly demonizing trans people for years now. And Republicans, of course, are basing laws on that demonization. And so that's where we're getting this. And now it's evolving into actual violence. And so that's where we are.
What's interesting is I've not heard this, except from you just now. And what that says to me is if indeed these things are occurring, and I have no doubt that they are, it's concerning to me that I'm not hearing about it in the media, because we should be. This, you know, this should be brought to the forefront. This is violence against a segment of our community.
Yeah.
They work, they pay taxes, they're citizens.
Yeah. There was a piece in the Daily Beast about vigilantism in Florida surrounding the bathroom law there.
Right.
And that was the centerpiece of what I was just talking about. It's happening wherever there is one of these bathroom laws, and I think Florida is one of the first. That's where the violence is occurring. And just, of course, it was predictable. Of course, we knew shit like this was going to go down as a result of it. But Republicans don't care because the end game, winning elections, is all they care about. So they're going to demonize whoever they have to demonize in order to get there. And it doesn't matter if lives are lost in the process. Clearly, January 6th taught us that horrible lesson.
It's up to us to stand shoulder to shoulder with all our citizens to prevent this sort of demonization of any group of us.
And and of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention what happened over the weekend as well. Not the Gettysburg thing, but the fact that Iran launched this massive attack against Israel. That, as it turns out, it was more of a gesture. It was more of a proportional style
response.
It was a show.
Yeah, Iran knew that stuff was going to be stopped. Yeah. They wanted to show they were pissed off. They did that. Was it 90 of the 300 missiles and drones they lobbed at Israel? Yeah. 90% of them were stopped. Israel did most of the stopping. We helped a little. I think another country pitched in a little. But it doesn't have to be an international thing. And what the world has been telling Netanyahu, and you know, who knows what he's going to do.
Right.
But what the world's been trying to tell him is, listen, if you're smart, you'll take this as a win.
Yeah.
You made them look silly by stopping them. Take this as a win and stop here rather than turning this into the worldwide religious war we've all feared.
Yeah, yeah. Israel assassinated two Iranian generals, and that was this whole response on Saturday was regarding that. Right. And so this is essentially Iran flexing its muscles and saying, hey, look, you know, we have to, there's like a bunch of different considerations. We have to retaliate, but we're not going to do it in a way that would necessarily escalate the whole thing beyond this level of control it's had.
There are a lot of very emotional views surrounding all of this, but what I think we can all agree in is we don't want that worldwide religious war.
Right.
You know, that's what we, I hope we're all in agreement on that.
The other thing to bear in mind, too, is the whole thing put the Republicans in a tight spot because all at once they want to support Israel while at the same time knowing that Russia is a significant ally of Iran. So if you're a Republican, who do you side with? Israel or Iran?
Well, if you're a Republican, go ahead.
Oh, well, if you're a Republican, you don't want to piss off Putin, do you? By opposing Iran. While at the same time, you don't want to piss off Israel either, because that's still, I guess if Republicans still have some form of policy backing this Trumpism that they're all orbiting around, it would have to be support for Israel, right?
These days, if you're a Republican, you don't want to piss off your fellow Republicans. I have one other piece of breaking news occurring during our recording of the show today, and that is this headline, momentum builds to oust House Speaker. Two Republicans say they would vote to remove him. We're up to two now.
Two.
Who say they would vote to vote to remove him. A couple more, and maybe that's enough with the Democratic majority. Yeah. I don't think the Democrats would do that or would go along with that. I don't know. Mm. But here we go again. Once again, the House is splitting in two and falling apart. And Mouse Speaker Mike Johnson is, his little trip to Mar-a-Lago apparently didn't work out too well.
No, we're going to be talking about that on the Shadow Docket coming up here in a second. Good. For sure. Sad news, in case you were hoping for a wonderful festive appliance week from the Republicans. What? It's not happening. It's been postponed. Appliance week has been postponed. Those of you who don't know, the Republicans were planning a series of laws to introduce, a series of bills to introduce this week that are all based on Donald Trump's weird obsession with water pressure and things like that. Like, you got to flush the toilet 12 times in order for it to flush, and the water in the sink and the shower, and they're selling sinks that don't make any water and whatever nonsense he's talking about. I'm going to read some of these laws that were going to be proposed during appliance week.
I look forward to that. I hope they don't call it off because I'd already decorated my blender.
Let's see. Affordable Air Conditioning Act, sponsored by Representative Crenshaw, Dan Crenshaw.
Don't give them all away.
The refrigerator. I'm going to talk about them now. We're wrapping up the show.
See.
Yeah, I'm not. This is not a tease for the Shadow Dog.
I'm
just saying it over the music. Okay. The Refrigerator Freedom Act. That's not being introduced this week. The Stop Unaffordable Dishwasher Standards Act.
Right.
The Clothes Dryers Reliability Act. These are serious people doing serious things about clothes dryers.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
No.
Liberty in Laundry Act. Boy, that's pandering, isn't it? Liberty in Laundry. And Hands Off Our Home Appliances Act.
That's right, by God.
That's also a thing.
That's the blanket act, yes.
Yeah.
And then we have an act for each of the individual appliances.
Jesus. This happens over and over again where bullshit is spewed by someone, whether it's Donald Trump or maybe James O'Keefe or whoever, and then suddenly the Republicans are legislating based on bullshit, made-up nonsense. This is the lack of seriousness. This is the unseriousness of one of the two major parties in this country.
Appliances are people too, Bob. And I believe the Supreme Court is getting ready to rule they have a right to free speech.
Yeah, so sorry, folks. Appliance Week's been canceled. Moose out front should have told you.
Blender out front should have told you.
Shadow Docket coming up next on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. See you over there. Sign up. Get going. Okay, bye-bye.